is a tribute to mothers. If you go to any Bible bookstore, you'll find some books with the title on it, The Proverbs 31 Woman. Many books. In fact, some of you have heard many sermons preached on the Proverbs 31 Woman. I've preached on it before, many times for Mother's Day, and I've heard other sermons. I read sermons and books preached on Proverbs chapter 31. The Proverbs 31 Woman. But the Lord has given me a different spin on it, as they say in Hollywood, to give me a different spin on it for this message today to share with you. And so I've asked my daughter evangelist, Charlene Rainey, to read the entire chapter for me. If you have your Bibles or, you know, your electronic gadgets, look it up for, please. Any version would be all right. Proverbs chapter 31.
All right. Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mothers taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princesses intoxicating drink. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. The virtuous wife. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Thank you, Charlene. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to sit with mothers and children and fathers and family here. And God, we ask that you would now help us to focus on your word, and please give us open hearts and minds to receive the word. Remove anything that might distract. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Not going to keep you long because you know some of the brothers and other family members want to take mother out for dinner somewhere, so we won't be too long. This chapter is not necessarily talking about a woman whose husband is dead or incapacitated with some kind of sickness or some woman that is single and never got married and had children and take. It's not talking about a woman like that. Of course, you heard within the text itself, it says her husband praises her. This chapter is talking about a woman who is walking side by side with her husband. As Genesis says in chapter 2, I usually read this before I perform marriage ceremonies. Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, it says, "And God saw that the man was alone. And God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make for him a helper suitable for him.'" A helpmeet, the Old King James Bible says, but a helper suitable for him. All the animals had mates, and Adam didn't. So we're talking now about a woman who is walking side by side with her husband, one who is also giving her help and using the abilities and all that God has given her to help her husband make meet. Unfortunately, most of the sermons you've heard on this, or I've heard on it, and when we read it, our minds usually only look at the portion of the woman that deals with her as a homemaker. Yeah. That's what we focus on. She's a wise homemaker. Stands by, with, behind, and for her husband. And they're holding hands and using all the wisdom and the strength and the abilities they have to make ends meet. That's the part we lift out of this entire text. But I believe that more is meant than that part of it. Because when we look at the summary that is given on this, in chapter 10, in verse 10, I'm sorry, that makes her price far above rubies. It's not because she's a good homemaker, but it is her spiritual life. And I don't know whether you got that. Her spiritual life that is mentioned in verse 30. Let me read it from a couple of other translations for you. Verse 30. Favor is beautiful. I'm sorry. Favor is deceitful. And beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the Old King James Version. The NIV says it like this. Charm is acceptable and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And then I like the Amplified Bible version of it. It says it like this. Charm and grace are deceptive. And beauty is vain because it is not lasting. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So you see, we focus on those other areas and leave out the most important part. We can almost hear Jesus speaking to Martha in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. You remember he went into the house of Martha and Mary, and so Martha is in the kitchen busy, getting all of her seasoning and trying to get everything in place, trying to make a good show for the meal they're about to give Jesus. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in spiritual food. Oh Lord. She's talking to Jesus, I'm sure, asking questions. And Martha gets upset and come in and says, Lord, aren't you concerned? I'm in the kitchen doing all this work and Mary is sitting here. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good part to sit at his feet and to feast on spiritual food instead of the food that Martha is so busy in. And so many times we get caught up in the physical and the things of life instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus in a Bible study or in our own private Bible study or in prayer. Now, verse 29, look at verse 29. I want you to watch this. Now it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but you excellest or surpasses them all. This is a great deal to be recorded about such a woman in private life. It means that she has done more than some of the women mentioned in the Bible. Let's listen to some, consider some of them. Miriam, when Moses led the Israelites to the Red Sea, and they were grumbling, and he held that staff up, and God opened the Red Sea and took them over on dry ground. When they got on the other side, we are told in Exodus chapter 15, that Miriam, Moses' sister, called the women and said, hey, y'all, let's praise the Lord. Get their tambourines, and they start playing their tambourines, and, oh, they were shouting and praising God. Miriam led that. And that was great. The first thing they did was praise the Lord. And that's what we need to do when we get through our Red Sea and our problems. The first thing we ought to do is give him praise. That's why, again, one of my favorite, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And thanksgiving, don't leave that out. Let your requests be made known unto God. So she is leading the women in praising God for their deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh and coming through the Red Sea. That was great, wasn't it? That was a great star for Miriam. Then what about Deborah, the prophetess? Not my daughter. She's not even looking at me, but ain't that so? In our Judges, I believe it was Judges chapter 4, Deborah, the prophetess, tells Barak. And I don't know, Chuck, I don't know how Barak's name ended up in Proverbs chapter 11 in the Hall of Fame. Well, this brother, according to the text here, was something, maybe he did some other things, I don't know. But anyway, Deborah the prophetess tells Barak, hey, I want you to go and gather a troop of men to go and fight against Jabin, the king of Canaan. You get you so many troop of men, and you go on this part, and I'm going to detain Sisera, the leader of the troops for Canaan, Jabin, the king of Canaan. And Barak said, if you go with me, I'll go. This is a man talking to a woman. Brothers. He said, if you go, I'll go. And if you don't go, I'm not going nowhere. That's what Barak said. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Judges chapter 4. Verses 4 through 10. He tells the woman, if you go, I'll go. But if you don't go, I'm not going. And Deborah said sweetly to him, listen now, I'll go with you. But remember, when the battle is over, you're not going to get the glory. A woman going to receive the glory. How are you going to feel about that? That's what she was telling him. But this boy did not go until Deborah went with him. So I don't know how he got in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to have to talk to the Lord about that. So maybe I'm missing something. Am I missing something somewhere along the road there about bark? Not talking about Barack Obama now. His name is not even spelled like that. We're talking, Barack Obama is a bad boy. But we're talking about Barak in the Bible. So, but anyway, Deborah the prophetess, you have to give her some stars. She's the one who led out in this victory. Now notice again what I'm focusing on in Proverbs chapter 31. It says what? Many women, many daughters have done virtuously. Many other women in the Bible have done great things with. Think about Ruth. She is the, she's called the woman of consistency because her mother-in-law said, no, I'm going back home. You girls don't go with me. Go ahead and you girls are young. Go look your brother, look for another brother, get another husband. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to stay with you. Ruth wanted to take care of this older lady, her mother-in-law. And Ruth said, whither thou goest, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. I'm going to stay with you. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Famous words in the Bible. She stuck with her mother-in-law. That was commendable. Mothers-in-law have a bad name down through history. And most folks were to say, most ladies especially, most ladies, because ladies are mad because these mothers are always taking up for their son. And most ladies would say, goodbye, see you later. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to stick with you. And that's commendable of her. She was a great woman. Then think about Hannah in the Bible. This great mother, she was barren and the ladies were teasing her. And she says, God, I'm praying for a child. And if you give me a child, I'm going to dedicate him to you. Give him right back to you. Hannah got pregnant. She had the baby. In fact, she was in the church praying. She was in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the thing of praying. And the priest went down to her and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Coming in the church drunk. In the back here talking to yourself. And she said, oh, sir, I'm not talking to myself. I'm praying, and I'm asking God to help me. So be careful how you judge people. In the past, it tickles me with the cell phones now, because in the past, you'd be standing on the corner or walking on the sidewalk and hear somebody talking to himself. You see, all his folks are not home. But you don't even see no cell phone. They have nothing. Maybe they have a little plug in their ears like that, but they're talking on the cell phone. So you got to be careful now. How you want to put people in the crazy house? Because you might end up there. But he thought the woman was drunk in the church. She said, no, I'm praying. And when God gave her the baby, she took him right back to the temple when he was a certain age and gave him back to the Lord. Dedicated his life back to God. How many of us have given our children to God, realizing that life is a gift from God? How many of us have committed them to God? Not waiting until they get in trouble or we get a call from the, that free call they get from the place. And then start praying. It's too late then. But offer them up to God. Offer them when they are born. Offer them. The Lord has laid me in my spirit to do that with every one of them. Not that all. Where, Charlene? Not that all are saints. But every time they came into the world. Of course, Charlene was confusing to me. As I was working out for Sight Memorial Hospital when she was born. And they keep teasing me and say, it's a boy. And then they all burst out laughing and say, it's a girl. The nurses and everybody were teasing me. And then finally when they say, the baby is here, and I kept on working. They said, no, we're not joking this time. The baby is here. And when I went in looking for the baby, I saw this baby, and, well, I'm not going to go through all of that. But anyway, I said, that's not my baby looking like that. And the nurse kept telling me, this your baby. I said, it doesn't look like me. That's not what I expected. I said, well, that's your baby. Anyway, she's different. But how about giving them in all seriousness, dedicating their child to God when they say it's a boy or it's a girl? What about Queen Esther? After Mordecai gave her the challenge, she says, okay, all right, I'll do it. If I die, I die. Famous words from the Bible. Great woman of the Bible, great woman. And all these were great women who excelled. But the Proverbs 31 woman, it says right here in the Bible, excels them all, bypasses them all in her spiritual devotion to God. That's the highlight of Proverbs chapter 31. The woman who fears the Lord, who honors him, who worships him. That's the Proverbs 31 woman. So in her we see the seven virtues that's given in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you have a chance to flip over there quickly. 2 Peter 1 verse 5. We see all of these virtues in this Proverbs 31 woman. 2 Peter 1, 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence unto your faith, add to your faith, virtue. To virtue, add knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in knowledge, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see all this embedded in these virtues of the Proverbs 31 woman. Her secret is open to everyone by the Holy Spirit in this book. And here, right here in verse 30. But the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be blessed. She shall be praised. The woman that fears the Lord. That's where the focus is. That's where the spotlight is. This woman is an excellent wife and mother. But notice, according to the list given in this chapter 31, she's also a manufacturer. She takes things and products and make it or to find things for her family. She is an importer. The chapter here says that she imports goods from far off for her family. She's a manager. She manages all that God has given to her. She is a realtor, Charlene. Says she seeks property. When she sees some good property, she goes and buys it in order to farm for her husband. Well, this woman is something else. She is a farmer. She goes out and helps with the farming. She is a seamstress, Sister Tomlin. She makes the clothing and all the other little things. Praise God. Hallelujah. For her family. She is an upholsterer. She talks about how she makes furniture, Womack, and everything. That's your job. She is a merchant. The Bible says she's like a merchant ship. How many of you brothers would like to have a wife like that? Say amen. Amen. I just got you in trouble, so when you... don't call me when you go home and get in trouble now, because... Praise the Lord, because you do have wives like that. What a blessing to have a wife like that that'll stand by you, with you, behind you, and for you at all times. Say, her husband is praised in the gates among the men. I said, man, you sure got you. The Lord bless you with a good sister. I wish mine was like that. Some of the brothers say. Her strength does not come from these amazing achievements, though. It doesn't come from there. That's not where her strength is coming from. Notice in the text, it never mentions her beauty. It never mentions anything about her appearance, does it? No. Doesn't say she was, well, I better leave that alone before I get in trouble with my wife. Doesn't describe her, doesn't say she looked like a Coca-Cola bottle. Hey, that's what we used to say back in my, man, I saw this lady down the road today. You're talking to the brother now. Man, she's shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle. Oh, Lord. That was back in Marilyn Monroe's day. Anybody go back there with me? These brothers don't even know what I'm talking about, Chucky. You see? Did you? But her strength doesn't come from that. It doesn't mention her beauty in that sense, her physical appearance. Not at all. Because that's not where it comes from. We have a calypso song in the Bahamas. I can't remember all the words, and all it goes like this. Never marry a woman prettier than you. I wish I had the words to the song. It's really... It speaks about the ugly woman, and then lists all the things that she does for you, and it ends by saying, but never marry a woman prettier than you. Calypso song. Because in our society today, what is it? Physical appearance is what counts so much. That's what we focus on in our society today. The physical appearance, tall, dark, handsome, tall, light-skinned, as a day school girl says. Those are what the ladies look for, not necessarily other qualities. Her appearance is never mentioned. Only these great qualities, and especially now when we come down to verse 30, I believe that's the message of Proverbs 31. Her attractiveness comes from her character, her lifestyle. And so, to you, my dear mothers, today, I want to extend blessing and honor to you. Many of you I know personally, and if I were to give you a grade, many of you I would give a 5-star. I'll call you 5-star mothers today. I've been blessed in the ministry here with, with ladies at mothers that brought their children to the day school. Some of them were struggling by themselves. Some of them were working 2 jobs. I've gone into homes and talked with and counseled with and saw how they were struggling within the home. It was many women in our day school who raised their children and paid their way through not only our day school, but through high school. That's right. Many of them by themselves. And then there were others who stood with their husband. They came to the parent-teachers' conferences. They came to the graduation and the other exercises. Some of them became members of the church, came to chapel programs, husbands and wives, standing together. And I watched how they were so very proud when their children graduated from high school and from college. And so I'm saying to you today, I'm not trying to tell you to imitate the Proverbs 31 woman and all these other homemaking activities and all. But all I'm trying to say to you today on this Mother's Day is be all you can be, as they say in the army. Be all you can be. Be the best you can be. That's what God's going to bless you for and grade you for. For you being all that you can be in your setting and in your situation. And that is what we are praying for. I've already prayed a serious prayer for mothers everywhere last night during the week. So the book of Proverbs began with a command in chapter 1 to fear the Lord. That's the command Proverbs gave in its beginning. Chapter 1, verse 7, fear the Lord. And it ends with this picture of a woman who fulfills that commandment. So mothers, bless you today. In the book of Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy. He's a young man. Now we don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything about the husband of his mother. Doesn't say it. We don't know whether he was dead or what happened. Or whether he or whether he went to the store and never came back. Yeah, I learned that one over here. I didn't hear that one in the islands. I just learned that since I came to America. Say, where's your husband? Oh, I don't know. He went to the store one day and he never came. Lord have mercy on me. Never came back. We don't know if that was the case of Timothy's dad. But all we know is when Paul complimented this boy and saw him, he said, boy, he said, you are destined for something. Because the faith that I saw, the unfeigned faith that I saw in your mother and your grandmother, I'm seeing it in you. His mother and his grandmother got the compliment for this young man who was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, assisted Paul, was inspired to write two books in the New Testament. That's astounding. A scripture that is read for almost every ordination I have been to and heard. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time is coming when men will not endure sound doctrine and so forth. Timothy wrote. But this man, the compliment came for his mother and his grandmother. And so there are lasting principles of motherhood. I close with this. And number one, the mother with a loving heart, who will discipline in love. I remember our brother Ivy, I'm going to say this. I hope you don't be offended by it or anything, or nobody else will, but when Brother Ivy brought his boys to our day school, we were discussing corporal punishment. And so Mr. Ivy, Mr. Butler, and myself were in the office. And Mr. Ivy says, sir, with all due respect, I do not want you to discipline my boys. Pastor Garvey can discipline my boys. But you are not to discipline my boys. You have never been married. You don't have any children. And Pastor Garvey will discipline my boys. He drew the line. And Mr. Butler respected that. Did I give any swats, Rashid? Did I give you any? He says one. Try not to remember it, man, because you're older now, you know, and don't. But I appreciate that. Miss Ivy is a strong man, and he stood. I mean, he means what he says, and he says what he means. But discipline with love and understanding. And secondly, a mind focus on God, focus on the truth. And thirdly, a spirit of hope, mothers. A spirit of hope. When you look at that boy and that girl that God has given you, look at him with a spirit of hope. I'm talking about confident expectation that God is going to see you through no matter what it is. You're going to face good times and bad times. You need to tell those children that. You need to tell them boys and girls that. Good times and bad times, but look at them with a spirit of hope. God's going to see you through. Every time, I have a lot of some letters I kept. My mother's gone now to be with the Lord, but every time she wrote me, her letter closed like this, or even on the phone, she said, remember, mother is praying for you. Those were her parting words, always. Remember, mother is praying for you. Keep your children in your prayers. Communicate with them. Talk with them. Let them know when they are wrong. Compliment them when they're right. When you see them struggling with issues, do the best that you can. Pray. Give the best counsel that you can. But keep them in the hands of God. God bless you, mothers, and may God help you one day. And when that great day come and that we'll be joined together with our children, with our family, around the throne of God, where we'll praise him forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand, please? Thank you. If there is one who have never accepted Christ, we invite you to come today. The angels in heaven are waiting. They are sitting on the edge of the seat, as it were, waiting for someone to make a decision to follow Christ. If you have not done that, we invite you to come. You can make that decision this morning. We'll rejoice with the angels in glory. Jesus himself.